ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय टुडे मॉर्निंग वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 Chapter number 24. It's a new chapter. Chapter entitled Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva. Text number 1. Maitreya Vacha Vijitasvo Dhirajasit Prithu Putra Prithu Shavaha Yaviyobhyo dadat kashta Bratrabhyo bratravatsalaha Maitriya uvacha Vijitasvo dairajasit Prithu Putra Prithu Shrava Yaviyobhyo Dadat Kashta Bratra Bryo Bratra Vatsalaha Maitriya Uvacha Vijitashva Dirojasi Prithu Putra Prithu Shravaha Yavyobhyo Dadat Kashta Bratrabhyo Bratra Vatsalaha. So word to word meaning Maitreya Vacha. Maitreya continued to speak. Vijitashva of the name Vijitasva, Adiraja, the emperor, Asit, became, Prithu Putra, the son of Maharaja Prithu, Prithu Shravaha, of great activities, Yavyo Biyaha unto the younger brothers, Adadat offered, Kashta different directions, Bratrabhya unto the brothers, Bratravatsala very affectionate to the brothers. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. The great Maitreya continued, Vijitasva, the eldest son of Maharaj Prithu, who had a reputation like his father's, became emperor and gave his younger brothers different directions of the world to govern, for he was very affectionate towards his brothers. Purport. After describing the life and character of Maharaj Prithu in the previous chapter, the great sage Maitreya began to speak about the sons and grandsons in the genealogical line of the Prithu dynasty. After the death of Maharaj Prithu, his eldest son Vijitasva became emperor of the world. King Vijitasva was very affectionate toward his younger brothers, and therefore he wanted them to rule different directions of the world. For time immemorial, the eldest son generally became king after the death of the previous king. When the Pandavas ruled the earth, Maharaj Yudhishthira, the eldest son of King Pandu, became emperor, and his younger brothers assisted him. Similarly, King Vijitasva's younger brothers were appointed to govern the different directions of the world. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Shakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagarjatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sagitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Vitasi Visakan Vitamsa E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Rishabhanu Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpataru bhasya kripa sindhu bhayevacha patitana bhavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaurabhaktavanda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Seeking blessing of all assembled Vaishnavas, we would like to speak from Srimad Bhagavatam. Today is also very auspicious day. Today is the day Gopal Bhatta Goswami's disappearance day, and we'll speak about the great personality as well today. So here we are continuing the lineage of Maharaj Uttanapad, in one sense actually. So if you see Bhagavatam, we started, I think, third canto, the discussion how Swayambhu Manu comes, and then Swayambhu Manu had two sons. So we are seeing the lineage which is coming from his eldest son Uttanapad. So we saw the life of Dhruva Maharaj, and then from that we saw the life of Maharaj Prithu. Now Maharaj Prithu ruled the world, ruled the kingdom exceptionally, you know, ideal king. He's empowered to rule how one king has to rule and how one should execute and how one should give protection and deliver the dependence. So many episodes we saw how actually one he conducted. So now he moved on to the next. So then he moved to forest, and then he went back to Godhead along with his wife. Now then obviously his eldest son stepped in as a king. So here Prabhupada writes in the Purport also about Yudhishthira Maharaj. We saw the great epic Purana, Mahabharata, yeah, in that how Yudhishthira Maharaj is coronated. So as a Kshatriya, they have to rule, you know, that's their duty to rule, to administrate, that is administration. Even the Pandavas wanted just 5 villages, you know, from Duryodhan or Dhritarashtra. They just wanted 5 villages. They all need is 5 villages, because as a Kshatriya, we need to perform our duty to rule, to give administration and protection to all the citizens. But then, you know, they were not happy to even give a space where you can penetrate a pinhead. So that's how, you know, he ended up in the war in Kurukshetra. So here see, the Vijitsava is a very famous personality as well. We saw in the previous, you'll see further also. He is the one actually wanted to, you know, he actually found out that Indra is stealing the horses. When the Prithu Maharaj is doing the Yajna, Ashwamedha Yajna, So every time Indra is disguised as a sannyasi, he is to disguise as different personality. So then Vijitsava, the eldest son, he used to point out to Maharaj Prithu, and he could able to find out that this person is actually, you know, stealing the horses. But then because he is a great personality and he knew that Indra is also equally a great personality. See, Indra, you know, we see that sometime Indra as a negative character in Bhagavatam, because so many times he actually disturbs or, you know, perform activities which is not very favorable or not a very great example to follow. But then one should understand, even the Supreme Personality of Godhead take the position of Indra when no one is there. And Indra is a devotee, he is actually helping in the pastimes of the Lord. Because if you see that verse, Yate Chamsa Kala Pumsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam Indriyari Vyakulam Riyanti Yuge. That's right. Indra means Krishna is the Bhagavan, and he actually liberates and he punishes who is enemy of Indra. Because Indra is a demigod, right? Whoever creating, because he is the king of demigod actually in one sense. So there is always, you know, if you see the stories of Bhagavatam, we see always there is a battle between the demigod and the demons. And Indra, whoever is creating problem to Indra, Krishna actually come to punish the demons. What else? Why Krishna? What is the other reason why Krishna comes to this? What is the main reason Krishna come? Huh? Yada yada hi dharmasya. Okay, then. Huh? For the churning. One reason that Krishna come. Yes, tell me. Huh? Correct, but I can't hear you any word, anything. Oh yeah. All are, you know, Bhagavatam experts. I am expecting a Bhagavad Gita answer is, you know. What are the reasons why Krishna come? One of the reason is to kill the demon. Huh? So one of the other reason is to protect the devotees, to annihilate the demons, and to re-establish the religious principles. Is it? Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya shaduskritam samsadharma samstaya. That's the verse, yeah, you know that? I don't know, but... So you can see that Krishna comes, who is creating problem to King Indra. So Indra is, so here, you know, Indra was stealing because he was a little bit, you know, agitated because of Maharaj Prithu conducting this 100 sacrifice, because then he could lose his position. So that was his, you know, worry. So that somehow or other he want to stop this yagya. So that's why, you know, Vijitsava is a great personality. And we'll see now further when we talk about Vijitsava and his lineage. We also today, you know, the disappearance day of Gopala Bhatta Goswami. So Gopala Bhatta Goswami is one of our acharyas, is one of our six Goswamis in Vrindavan. So Mahaprabhu, you know, after taking sannyas, for 6 years he is going in a preaching mission. He's traveling South India. So he's going different places in South India in a preaching mission. So then he was going to place in South India, in Tamil Nadu. It's called Srirangam. How many of you have been there to Srirangam? Okay, that's good. So recently I was there. And if you are planning to go to Srirangam, and one should visit Srirangam, because Mahaprabhu visited this place, and Srirangam is usually we have this, you know, like if you have a place, if you have a town, if you have a city, there is a temple, right? There is a place of worship, there is a place where the Lord resides. Srirangam is the other way around. Srirangam is the temple where the city is inside, if you really see. Because Srirangam is such a big that they have 7 compound wall. Within each compound wall, the city is there. So you go from one compound wall, there are usually if you see Vishnu temple, any of the Vishnu temple, there's always 7 gates, right? Before you enter the Vaikuntha. So we see the episode of Kumaras and the Jay and Vijay. They were standing in the 7th gate. The 6 gates were there, right? So if you next time if you go to any Vishnu temple, you can see. You can, before seeing the Lord, you will see 7 gate. 7, you know. So here there is 7 walls in Srirangam, and each wall has a big tower, and the main tower is actually soaring and literally like, you know, big, you know, it's like almost touching the sky like that. Such a big temple, vast actually. So they have, if you see, you know, between each wall there are shops, there are, you know, hotels, many things are happening because each wall is like, you know, so wide. So Srirangam is big actually. And if you are planning to visit, I recently went, and there is one darshan called Vishwarupa Darshanam. This is a very good. It's in the early morning. The first darshan is called Vishwarupa Darshanam. So what is special in this is, so when the Lord is woken up, and of course they have you know, veena and other musical instrument, they play to the Lord, and you know the curtain is there and people are playing the instrument and, you know, waking and doing musical instrument. After that, they bring a big elephant. One elephant, one white horse and a cow. All three are like different. Like for example, the cow is like one in, you know, so many species. The speciality of the cow is, the whole cow is black and it has a hunchback like a bull. The cow doesn't have a hunchback. So this cow has a hunchback, and the tongue of the cow is black color, and the udder of the cow is black color, which you won't see. Even the cow is black, you don't see a black tongue, a black udder with a hunchback. So they said a particular name. So this is like one in, like, you know, so many thousands, like you will get one cow like this. So this cow, and then there is a horse. This horse, fully white, like you will see from the tail to the tip of the head, full like white, like, you know, we see the picture of Kalki avatar coming in the white horse. So similar like that, the horse is fully white, and it's like, you know, they maintain such a way, you can see, you know, it's not like a yellow fading white or cool warm white or not like that, it's white, you know. And then they have this elephant, which is huge, you know. If you actually, you know, I was standing next to the elephant, you know, it's like really fearful. If you, you know, come and see the elephant, they are massive, biggest mammal in the land, I would say. So these three, and when the darshan opened, the elephant actually bowed down and put this trunk, and then it started to, you know, make the noise. Can you make? Oh, like that, you know. So like that. And then the cow, you know, it gives koma, mutra, and then the horse standing. So it's a basically Vishwarupa Darshan. All three animals are there, and the Lord is open, and the devotees are there, and they, you know, chant Govinda like that. So it's a very great darshan. Morning, they don't allow everyone, so they just allow like 100, 150 people in the morning, early morning, 5 o'clock, 4:35, like that. So this is a darshanam, you know, because the Lord Vishnu is lying in his ananta. And Mahaprabhu wanted to see, and then that time there were a lot of brahmanas chanting and, you know, glorifying the Lord, and the Mahaprabhu entered, and when Mahaprabhu also chanting, everyone was silent, dumbstruck, and they saw, who is this personality? Such a beautiful young sannyasi. And, you know, Mahaprabhu rolling in the ground, they thought someone has melted the gold and rolling in the ground. Imagine a pillar of gold or something, molten gold, and then it's rolling in the ground. They were thinking, what is this, you know? It's such a golden, you know, avatar, and everyone was captivated by the beauty of Mahaprabhu, the Gora Sundar. So then, you know, Venkata Bhat, he was a devotee, he saw, and then he moved, made, you know, way for the Lord to chant and dance. And then Mahaprabhu came in the external consciousness, and then he embraced Venkata Bhat. And Venkata Bhat requested Mahaprabhu, please come to home, you know, come to our home and stay. So Mahaprabhu went to the home of Venkata Bhat. So Venkata Bhat and his family. So Venkata Bhat has two more brothers, one is Tirumala Bhat and Prabodhananda Saraswati. Prabodhananda Saraswati is already a sannyasi that time. Tridharani sannyasi. All were strict followers and they were in the line of Sri Sampradaya, Ramanujacharya's Sampradaya. And they were very ardent devotee of Lord Hari. There is no doubt about it. So Mahaprabhu was so happy and, you know, attracted to the way they worship the Lord. And Venkata Bhat had a son. His name was Gopal. He was 7 years old when he met Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu used to stay there for 4 months because of Chaturmasya time. So he was staying there, and Gopal Bhat also was attracted to Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. So Mahaprabhu used to keep him on his lap. And then Mahaprabhu used to eat prasad, and then he used to give the remnants to Gopal Bhat. So Mahaprabhu is preparing an acharya here. If you see all the devotees, great devotees, they all received the mercy of Mahaprabhu. So without the mercy of Sri Mahaprabhu, one cannot become a great devotee. If you see the pastimes of Roop, the pastimes of Sanatana Goswami, all the great acharyas, they all received the mercy of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu bestowed the mercy to Gopal Bhat. So he's making, you know, acharya. So then he was staying, and then time came that he has to leave. Mahaprabhu has to leave to travel further down in South India. So obviously Venkata Bhat and family was not very happy. They were in tears. And Gopal Bhat, you know, caught hold of the feet of Mahaprabhu and started crying. A small boy, you know. So just to pacify him and please him, Mahaprabhu stayed 2 more days in his place. And Mahaprabhu said, then he initiated him, you know, Gopala Bhatta Goswami. And he said, you move to Vrindavan, but not now. But not now, because your parents are already great devotees. So you better serve them, and then once with their permission and blessing, you can go to Vrindavan. So here we have to see, Gopala Bhat, you know, was getting training. So Mahaprabhu left. So Gopala Bhat was getting training from Prabhupada Saraswati. So he was learning under him, his uncle, lot of, you know, scriptures and other things. And everyone was so attracted to Gopala Bhat, because the whole village used to, you know, get attracted towards him and the way he chanted and the way he, you know, worshipped. So they were started coming to the parents of Gopala Bhat, to Venkata Bhat, saying, your son, you know, such a wonderful, such a nice devotee. He's so nice. So Venkata Bhat and his wife, they knew that, you know, this is because the mercy of Mahaprabhu, and this is because, you know, he is a great Vaishnava, he is a pure devotee. And they were so happy about that, their son becoming a great devotee. You know, this is a typical Vedic style of upbringing a children or a son or a daughter. Whereas, you know, as a parent, you know, as scripture says, that one should deliver the dependent, right? One should make sure that they are not taking birth again. Some or other, Krishna has given a jiva under our care, and we should make sure that the jiva doesn't come back again. So, but in Kali Yuga, you know, it is really opposite. That if someone become a devotee, some children, you know, most of, you know, I would say, some greater percentage that the children become a devotee and the parents, then later they become devotee. So, when the child became a devotee, then the parents are worried. What about his material ambition and goals? What about his achievements in this world? Who will carry on my lineage of business? Who will, you know, they immediately think that, you know, as a moment that children or a, you know, boy become a devotee, they think he will become a sannyas. And they're worried, you know, don't do this, you know, don't do it, overdo it. Okay, but, you know, don't, you know, become too much into this. But here you see the exact opposite of Venkata Bhat and his family. They were so happy that a son become a great Vaishnava. A son become a great Acharya. And he's so performing the devotional service so nicely. So then the days passed. At the age of 30, Gopala Bhat, you know, he was there, and his parents called him and said, okay, now you can go to Vrindavan. We will give you a blessing. We are old now. So then they said, Gopala Bhat, you go to Vrindavan. Because Mahaprabhu, that's the instruction. He was always wanted to, you know, meet Mahaprabhu. He is meditating on this instruction that let me, you know, when will the time come, I will go. Then after he started moving, the parents, remembering the feet of Mahaprabhu, they actually left this world. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can see the conversation between Mahaprabhu and Venkata Bhat. It's interesting and esoteric conversation about relationship of Lakshmi Narayan and Radha Krishna. We won't go into details, but you can see how Mahaprabhu actually attracted the heart of Venkata Bhat and others who were worshipping the Supreme Lord in a great awe and reverence mood. Their mood is different, but then because of association of Mahaprabhu, they moved to worship of Radha Krishna. So then Gopala Bhat reached Vrindavan. So in Vrindavan, there is already two great personalities waiting for him. That is Roop and Sanatan. Because Mahaprabhu already told Roop and Sanatan that this great boy, you know, I met South India, his name is Gopala Bhat, he's going to come to Vrindavan. So take care of him, you know. Take care of him. So Roop and Sanatan was taking care of Gopala Bhat as, you know, as his own brother. Very affectionate dealing. Great bond, and they were taking care of him as if his own brother. So Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri, and he was worried what happened to Gopala Bhat. And he went to a Gopinath temple from Gambira. So in Jagannath Puri, if you see the place where Mahaprabhu stayed, Gambira. Someone been there? How many of you been to Gambira? Okay. And Tota Gopinath? Okay. Well, these are wonderful places actually. Have you seen in Tota Gopinath before Abhishek, they will show you the lotus feet of the Gopinath, you know. Anyway, so Mahaprabhu went there to discuss with Gadadhar Pandit, and he was little worried, you know, what happened? So when he was just thinking, a messenger came and hand over the message that from Roop and Sanatan that Gopala Bhat has arrived at Vrindavan. So Mahaprabhu was so happy. He was so happy, and then he sent some letter, some message, and then he sent some gift to Vrindavan. So then Gopala Bhat actually received this gift. So he has sent this gift. It's a small wooden plank where Mahaprabhu used to sit and worship the Lord. Then he sent some uttar, you know, the upper garment, and then he sent some lower garments to, as a gift to Gopala Bhat Goswami. So Gopala Bhat, you know, used to worship this paraphernalia of Mahaprabhu, and he used to keep it with him. So when that is still available, if someone wants to see, or I don't know whether you can see, but it's still available in Vrindavan. So Gopala Bhatt was there, and Mahaprabhu left this planet, disappearance of Mahaprabhu. So he was so much, you know, worried, and he was feeling the separation. Of course, all the Goswamis and the great devotees who have associated with the Mahaprabhu, they are very much feeling the separation. And Gopala Bhatta Goswami also was having this separation from Mahaprabhu. So then, one day in a dream, Mahaprabhu came in the dream of Gopala Bhatta Goswami. He said, if you want me, or if you want to worship, you have to go to Nepal. So Mahaprabhu instructed Gopala Bhatta Goswami to go to Nepal. So then Gopala Bhatta Goswami went to Nepal. Then there is a Gandaki river, you know.
All the way walking,
yes. There is no flight or train or any other services. I need to walk and go. That's right. So Gopala Bhatta Goswami walked all the way to Nepal, and no visa and immigration problem, isn't it? No toll, everything. So it was walk, and then he went and bathed in the river. So he had this small pot. So then he was, you know, dipping in the river. So when he dipped in the river and got up, and there were Shaligram Shilas in that river. So that was in the pot. So then, you know, he thought it's not good. So then he poured that Shaligram back into the pot. Again he dipped. Then again there was Shila. Then third time he dipped, and then he found that there is again Shila. Then he realized this is the will of the Lord. So there were 12 Shaligram Shilas in the pot. So then he got that back to Vrindavan to start worshipping. So he was worshipping this 12 Shila. One of the Shila is Damodar Shila. We have Shaligram Shila here. How many Shilas we have in our temple? Do anyone know?
Six.
12. 14. And 8. Okay. So let you find out that. I'll leave it up to you guys. You know. So anyway, so then he had 12, okay? Gopala Bhatta Goswami had 12 Shilas, okay? There is no doubt about it. So he had this Damodar Shila. So he was worshipping this Shila every day, you know, his heart and soul. That is his worship. Then there was this wealthy person, his name Seth, I think. Then he actually gave some, he was amazed by the way Gopala Bhatta Goswami worshipped the Shilas, and then he gave some paraphernalia, some gift. He gave some ornaments, he gave some dresses, started giving this. But then Gopal Goswami said, you know, the Shila which I have is round in shape. I cannot put these ornaments and everything, right? So he said, better give it to someone else, you know, why to me? You can give it to someone who is... So this time if you notice that there are other Goswamis, they are also worshipping Radha and Krishna. You know? So they have, you know, the deity form, that is Radha, Krishna and Radha, you know, they manifested, they somehow, like Sanatana Goswami, got it from the bush, and you know, like so many, they themselves showed up for them. And then, you know, they worship. So then, Gopala Gotta Goswami had this desire, I mean, kind of a lamenting, that I couldn't able to serve or dress the deity or put the ornaments, you know, properly. So he was praying and he was meditating on this pastime, the pastime of Lord Narsingadev. Because Narsingadev appeared from the pillar, right? So he appeared from the pillar and he was meditating. on the pastimes of Narasimhadev, and he was deeply, you know, praying and, you know, desiring to have a deity. He went to sleep that night. The next day morning, he woke up, he did his morning, that he went to Yamuna, take his bath, he did his, you know, got the paraphernalia for his Shaligram Puja, then came back, and he usually carried these shilas in a cloth tied in a stick. Because these Goswamis, they don't have a permanent residence or permanent address. They usually sleep in the kunjar, in the forest, in the groves of trees, everywhere. They don't have anything. So then he used to have this cloth, and then that day morning he opened the cloth, and then he saw that one of the Shila has manifested as Tribhanga Sham Deity, with a folding, three bend folding, carrying a flute and manifesting. He was so happy, he was so surprised that Damodar Shila had manifested into a self-manifesting Krishna deity. And other Shilas were there. And he was really, you know, happy, and then he spread this word to other Goswamis. So then Rupa and Sanatha was running and coming. With tears in the eyes, they were running and to one see the Shila. They were running and coming, and they saw this beautiful, because he prayed, I want a lotus eyes, I want a broad chest, I want this three bending form, I want this lotus feet, I want to see all this. So he was meditating, he was thinking, so he can decorate. So then, according to his desire, then in the manifestation was there, and then the Goswami is named the deity as Radha Raman. Radha Raman Bhagavan ki jai. So, we're not doing any katha or anything. Most of us have been to Radha Raman, I guess. Yeah, most of us have been to Radha Raman. Radha Raman deity. This is one of the beautiful deity actually. And Radha Raman is the only deity, or you know, he had never stepped out of Vrindavan, because you know, most of the deities, you know, when there's a Mughal ruling and everything happen, they have to move to a different place. So Radha Raman is the same, you know, same. The Goswami's deity is still there. Nidiban. The lesson, you know, if you see, the pure devotee desire, you know, the Lord actually manifests the desire of the pure devotee. You know, sometimes we ask people to pray for us, right? And we request the devotees to help us to pray and to desire something for us, because their desires are, you know, fulfilled. This is Radha Raman, if you see, it's so detailed intricacies. And if you see, you know, sometimes manifest the teeth, sometimes the fingernails, so intricate. And even, you know, the back of Radha Raman, there's still the Shaligram, you know, Shila mark is there. And he started worshipping this Radha Raman, beautiful deity. Radha Raman means one who is give pleasure to Sri Radha. So this Radha Raman, you know, worship was done by Gopala Bhatta Goswami, and one time before he got this deity, he was traveling to Haridwar. So this place, when he went, there was a heavy downpour of rain. So then Gopala Bhatta Goswami went to someone's house, a Brahmana, requested. So he stayed there at one night at his house. And this Brahmana didn't have a son, and he was serving Gopala Bhatta Goswami. And Gopala Bhatta Goswami was happy, and the way he served and everything. So then he gave a benediction, blessing. So then the Brahmana said, if I get, you know, my first son, I will send it to you. I will give my son as a servant to you when he born. Gopalbhatta Goswami said okay, and then he carried on and he moved to Vrindavan. For 10 years' time, a son of this Brahmana came to ashram of Gopalbhatta Goswami. And this boy was 10 years old, and his name is Gopinath. So he became the servant of Gopalbhatta Goswami, and he was serving this deity as well. So then Gopalbhatta Goswami, when he disappeared, so this deity was given as a worship care of Gopinath Acharya Goswami, Gopinath Goswami. And right now those family, his brother and he had 3 sons, those family are the lineage who is worshipping this deity of Radharaman. Radharaman worship is the highest standard in the Braj, in any of the deity worship, apart from ISKCON and Prabhupada. Even they are very favorable to ISKCON. So there was one Goswami, his name is Vishwambar Goswami. His father was worshipping, but then Vishwambar Goswami was doing a advocate, lawyer, but then he gave up and then came to Vrindavan to continue on the request of his father to worship Radharaman, who is a friend of Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada moved to Vrindavan. So he moved to Vrindavan because he didn't have a place to stay in Delhi. So he was in touch with Mahant Gopal, there is one devotee. And Srila Prabhupada moved to Vrindavan to Vamsi Gopalji temple. So before moving to Radha Damodar temple, there is a Vamsi Gopalji temple is there. On the first floor he was staying. It was 5 rupees per month rent. But Prabhupada didn't have that. Srila Prabhupada actually was staying in Delhi and trying to establish this Back to Godhead magazine. The struggle is a huge struggle to maintain and publish and get the papers and go to the printers, and he used to walk. He doesn't have money. He didn't have breakfast. It's a lot of struggle. Then because he cannot stay in Delhi, no place, so he moved to Vrindavan where he can stay in this temple, and fortnight he will travel to Delhi to publish the Back to Godhead magazine. So that was his routine. So then he traveled, and the evening time he used to go for a walk. So he went to Radharaman temple. So he carried some Back to Godhead magazine, even though it's English. So he used to go and meet this Vishwambar Goswami. And he used to give this book to him because he is advocate, he is a studied, educated person. So Prabhupada used to give this book to Vishwambar Goswami to read. And then he take darshan of Radharaman, and then he comes back. So, if you see, Srila Prabhupada, that's the routine. In the evening time, he used to go for a walk in the Yamuna. Then he used to go to all these temples, one after another of Goswami's temple. Then take darshan. Then come back in a seclusion. There's no one is there. Then he started to translate, write. And then next day morning, again, same. He chant everything and then he go for... So the Radharaman deity was worshipped. Even still to date, they have a good appreciation for ISKCON devotees. If you go to the temple in the night time, they have a special Sayanarati. So this Sayanarati is very special because they play flute to make Krishna to go to bed. There's one devotee who comes every day and he plays the flute. So of course before the flute they have different bhajans and everything. It's a sweet, way how they make the Lord to go to bed. So if you have time, you can next time, plan and go for this arati in Radharaman. So Gopalbhatta Goswami, also coming from a very upbringing of great family, he also contributed very literature in sense of literature. So he actually compiled and helped in Ari Bhakti Vilas. Actually, Sanatana Goswami compiled this book on affection of Gopala Bhatta Goswami. In fact, he has put his name instead of him. When Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was writing Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he went, to all these Goswamis and all these devotees to get blessing. So when he went to Gopala Bhatta Goswami, so he said, "I will give you blessing, no doubt about it. But on the return, you should not mention my name in your book." So that is his request. So you don't see much of Gopala Bhatta Goswami's name and his pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita, except one or two places where he has briefly mentioned one, two place only in whole Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that shows the humility of Gopala Bhatta Goswami. Apart from that, even Jiva Goswami, when he's writing his Sandarbha, he didn't mention Gopala Bhatta Goswami. He said a person, a boy from South India, who came from Srirangam, like indirectly mentioned. Because his work, on the work of his, basis of his work, he compiled this Sandarbhas and everything. He also written Sat Kriya, there's a book where it talks about Vaishnava, Samskara and other things. So many literature work he has done, Gopala Bhatta Goswami. And he stayed there for 45 years in Vrindavan. When he moved to 30, he stayed till 75. So Gopala Bhatta Goswami Samadhi is there next to Radharaman temple. So just in the alleyway next to the temple, if you see, there is an alleyway. So if you go there is a Samadhi of Gopala Bhatta Goswami. So this today is the day where he has joined the Leela, Nitya Leela. So basically Gopala Bhatta Goswami is a Manjari. His name is Guna Manjari. So he's assisted in the pastime of Radha Krishna and he has taken part in the pastime of Mahaprabhu. So he is a companion and he has assisted the work of other Goswamis. So today we pray at the lotus feet of Gopala Bhatta Goswami so that we can get a little bit taste for chanting the holy name. Because one of the main teachings and the purpose of Goswamis is to spread the holy name and to make sure that they give literature and everything to support the chanting of holy name. So that's their, only because they're always chanting the holy name and meditating on the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. So we just pray at the lotus feet of Gopala Bhatta Goswami so that we can get His mercy and we also can assist in the movement of Srila Prabhupada in spreading the holy name. Hare Krishna. Gopala Bhatta Goswami Maharaj ki jai. See if anyone has any questions, correction or addition to what we discuss. Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Gopala Bhatta Goswami again
went to
Nepal. Oh, okay. To leave these or dwell. Yes, again.
But
again they came back.
Yeah.
So he reluctantly brought them back.
It is said sometime when Gopala Bhatta Goswami is worshipping Radharaman, Radharaman changed to Gaur Sundar. Mahaprabhu deity. Because that's why Mahaprabhu came in the dream and told, because he was so feeling so separation from Mahaprabhu that sometime when he worshipping, he sees Mahaprabhu, it becomes Mahaprabhu and then again it becomes Radharaman. That is, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, 1503, that's where Gopal Bhatta Goswami appeared in this world. So 500 plus years. Yes, Mataji. Yeah. Yeah. Madhu Pandit. That's right. I heard one of the... Yeah, tell me.
Radha Ramana, Ramana is the Shila that modified into the form, right?
Yeah.
And what about the Radha
Ramana? There was some story actually. They have Radha Ramana and then next to that they have a Mukut and then they had Radharani. They appeared, I think, but I'm not sure the details. Sometimes, you know, I think it's missing or something now. That Shila, it's in Shila form. It's in Shila form. It's not manifest. Radharani is not manifested as like how we have Radharani. Not like that. It's Shila. We have also Giriraj next to that Radharani as we worship. Yeah. Yeah.
But then why in Bhagavatam is called Tamalavanam or blue or something? Most of the
places. It's like sometimes the monsoon cloud, if you see in the sky, a bit of a gradation there, you know, grey, black and blue like that. So when you see, then you get reminded of Krishna. The peacocks say, Ganesham. This Krishna is called Ganesham. Sham, you know, usually it's in black, yeah. And the bluish black Krishna. But yeah, I've not seen that kind of thing yet. But it's the most beautiful form, that's it. Yes?
Hare Krishna, thank you for a great talk.
Thank you.
My question is, you said that Sri Radharaman Mandir and ISKCON Mandir, they have the highest standard of deity worship.
Yeah.
So my question is, how do you measure?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The highest standard is that there are some key things like, you know, time, you know, like every offering, every darshan, everything happens on dot. Not like whenever you feel. Like, example, in our temple, you know, we're very, very particular about this, you know. Cleanliness is also the second that, you know, that's, you know, it's very clean and the pujari is, you know, time and their cleanliness and basically another thing also that the opulence, one of the other thing is, you know, the standard in terms of what you are offering, how you are dressing and what is the festival like. So these are all, you know, another thing I would say, and the main thing and the one of the most important thing of the standard is the mood of devotees worshipping the deities. That's the most important thing, because you see that the center of this whole operation of Melbourne is Radha Vallabha. Everything revolves around the deities. So everything, pretty much, whatever we are doing, is all result is offered to Radha Vallabha. So every day morning we read the scores for the pleasure of Radha Vallabha. We do the kirtan, we give class, everything, cleanliness, for their pleasure. So that is the highest mood that a devotee wants to give everything to for the pleasure of the deities. And we keep reminding that, you know, because they are the center, and one has to serve them. By serving them, one can be happy. That's simple. And There are ministries and department in ISKCON. They have a DT ministry, and they have representatives who check, who make some system and procedures, how to worship, what to do, when to do. So the whole, you know, system and department is there. The minister, you know, is also from Australia. His name is Narasimha Kavacha Prabhu. He stays in New Govardhan. So he travels around the world. He sometimes comes here as well. He checks, you know, what time you're offering, what time, when is the conch shell blowing. So he actually checks and he reports. He goes around the world and he checks and he reports as well. So it's I think we may not see, but there's lots happening on the standard. Or if anyone, yeah, no problem. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Okay, we'll stop here. Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gopala Bhatta Goswami ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.